My brain's fired up.
Oh, how many cups of coffee you got?
This is my third. Oh. Right there.
Yeah, we're recording.
The abominable snowman is in Oregon right now.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I like that. At the time we're recording this, man, school's started back up, which of course messes with everybody's schedules, not just the kids. Man, mine were zombies this morning.
Mine too. The hill.
So, yeah. Hey, we're going to talk some prophecy today because, that just seems to be the thing to do around the time of New Year, right? We all start to thinking, well, how much closer are we to that time when Jesus comes back for his church? And before we get started on that, I have an extremely important question for you. When are you going to grow that Fu Manchu?
I don't know. I can.
I know you can. I can see the shadow right now.
Yep.
Come on, man.
I don't know, bro. My daughter told me that I can't grow it out because all the grays are showing now.
The Bible says to wear grays like a crown, dude. Okay. So
the only crown I want is when I get to heaven.
Yeah, whatever. I got grays coming in and I like it. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to speak from your word, to speak about your word. Lord, I ask that you'll speak through Mike and I, that the words that we share today will be those of encouragement, those of a sense of urgency, and that you'll speak to the listener today and help us to stay out of your way in that endeavor. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Mike, we went through the slides here, and I know it's kind of a hodgepodge of different headlines and whatnot, but instead of trying to go chronologically, I just kind of started with a couple Old Testament deals here, dealing with Ezekiel 38 and 39, and then we'll move into Matthew 24, 2 Timothy 3, Revelation 6, and we'll round it out with a prayer. So, we, like I said in the prayer there, we want to instill a bit of a sense of urgency because we are so close to the end, guys, that we need to have this urgency about sharing our faith. More importantly, living our faith with boldness. It doesn't mean that you have to go around saying, oh, I'm a Christian, you know, or wear this, you know, brown tunic thing, shave your head and walk around with a rope around your waist. Do that if you want. But the Bible tells us to live out our faith with boldness, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. So, Mike, anything before I get started with some of these headlines?
I'm ready to be raptured.
Same.
That would be cool if that happened during this recording.
Oh, I'd be okay with it. Zoom would have a lot of cloud space being filled up with nothing if that happens. And also, I do want to say that when we get going in this, keep in mind that we come from a viewpoint of a pre-tribulation rapture. There are those that say, oh, well, that's only been around for, you know, last 50 years or something like that. Well, that's not true. That viewpoint has been around for a very long time, and especially with Paul. Okay. So Mike just
asked. And the Old Testament.
Exactly. Exactly. So much symbolism in the Old Testament that, I mean, you know, like J.D. Frog says, God takes his symbolism very seriously. And so as we talk about this, keep in mind that that's the viewpoint that we come from. And we'll probably touch on some of that, especially since Mike and his co-pastor there, Ed, they talked a lot about the pre-tribulation rapture in their sermon yesterday. So be in that mindset with us. That'd be great. Okay. If you're listening to this, I'll do my best to make sure to read all through these headlines for you. But if you want to have a better view of it, check out YouTube, because I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here. And these are just screenshots so that I don't have to scroll through every web page. So first of all, let's talk about Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38, there are three main players, and there's a couple more in addition to that that jump on board here. But the main players here are Rush, Meshach and Tubal, and Persia, okay? And so modern day, that would describe Russia, Turkey, and Iran, okay? And it talks about Gog and Magog. Okay, Gog is a title, right, Mike? So it's a title of sort of like a ruler, a czar, whatever. And I really do believe 100% that Gog is Vladimir Putin. Putin is a long-standing ruler over Russia, and he's also the richest man in the world, in case you didn't know that. So here are the headlines.
Not Bill Gates. Or Bezos?
No, not Soros. It's this guy right here. Russia warns they're ready to turn everyone to radioactive ash, and Putin will put a gun to America's head. That was December 21st. Okay. And this also goes into wars and rumors of wars that we'll talk about in Matthew 24. But as you can see, Russia has become the major player in the Middle East. And at some point in the very near future, I believe they're going to come against Israel. Israel has a couple things that Russia really, really wants. And if they're going to maintain their economy, Russia really needs. I don't think it's a widely known fact, but Israel happens to be sitting on the largest natural gas deposit in the world, as far as anyone knows about anyway. Also a massive oil deposit. So Russia wants that because Israel could easily be the source for all of Europe. And Russia wants to maintain that that relationship there and that money, that income coming in. So that's one of the reasons. And which would be another reason why the nations that protest would say, "Have you come to take a spoil?" And like many have said, just take the SP and you off of spoil, and you know the reason why Russia, Turkey, and Iran come against Israel. I'm sure Iran has different reasons for wanting to come against Israel. But anyway, so there's that one, Mike.
I thought, you know, a thought that comes to mind is when our country was under, you know, President Trump, regardless of what people think of him, we were, for the first time in our country, in our nation, not oil dependent on someone else.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard somewhere, I don't know who said it, I don't know if it was a podcast or, but, you know, someone was saying, well, in the larger scope of things, you know, regarding Ezekiel 38:39, Gog Magog, you know, Russia, Turkey, you know, and Iran, Persia, right? They're coming along because they realize there's more oil over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and oil is, you know, I think to them is key. You know, it's king.
Oh yeah.
You know, and they all hate America.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So because why? They also hate America because why? We're an ally to Israel.
Right.
So if they get rid of America, Israel's alone, you know, and we can go down different rabbit trails and stuff like that. But
yeah. Yeah, I know we've got a lot of slides to cover, but that's a great point, is that, you know, America used to kind of be the protector and we were all over in the Middle East. Now, I mean, we've pulled out almost completely, left behind all of this equipment, and Russia steps in and fills that void that they had already started to fill by coming into Syria. I mean, Bashar Assad or whatever, he's of no consequence anymore.
Mm.
Putin owns Syria.
Yeah.
And so Russia has taken its spot as a dominant force there. And it says in Ezekiel 38 that they'll come out of the north and
the bear.
Look at them now. Okay. Now, why is this kind of stuff important? So here's another one. Iran, Russia, and Turkey, a Eurasianist model of foreign relations, which is just silly to me. So here we have these three countries coming together as allies, and each of them with their own motives, I'm sure. But so Ezekiel 38, I want to explain something real quick. So a lot of prophecy teachers will say that this is either going to happen, this invasion of Israel, either immediately before or immediately after the rapture. Why do they say that? It's because there's a portion in there that talks about how they will burn the weapons and cleanse the land for 7 years. Now, 7 years coincides with the 7-year tribulation. And so that's just one of the reasons why they put these events together. I mean, there's more than that. There's, you know, a peace treaty that's going to be introduced by the Antichrist. And in order for that to happen, you know, Russia is an opponent of, not a proponent, but an opponent of this globalism, right? They don't want to be ruled by, you know, this United States of Europe, essentially. So Russia is going to have to be taken out of the way. So that
could, I don't know if you could see that, but
let me switch back over for us here.
I don't think
I have to unblur there, bud.
Oh, I know. I think I might have to. Let me see here.
How you got yourself a timeline there, don't you?
Yeah, but how do I do this?
So yeah, that's one of the reasons that they believe that it's going to be either immediately before or immediately after the rapture. And I agree with that. And another reason that I agree with that is because we're seeing all this stuff come together and take place. And, you know, Russia, if they do take over Ukraine, which I think they will probably pretty soon, that's just another step, right? That's just another landmass that is between them and Israel that they'll likely take over. Are you having problems there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to unblur.
It's under the stop video and then choose virtual background.
I was right there. Virtual background. None. There we go.
There you go. What do you got, Mike?
So for those that are watching, there's, I don't know if you can see it, but there's the timeline, the rapture of the church and the Middle East peace treaty. And people can get this on John Wolverd's site. Kind of gives you an idea of why, you know, we pre-tribulationists hold that view. But yeah, go ahead. I just want
another good source. Another good source for anything that we're really going to talk about today would be Pastor Don Stewart. He wrote a boatload of books. And they're actually all free online if you just look him up, Don Stewart, and he does a good job of explaining Ezekiel 38 and his stance on that. So let's see what's next. Okay, so Matthew 24. Matthew 24, Jesus points out the temple, the disciples point out the temple. Jesus says, you know, that not one stone be left on another. And then the disciples ask him a couple of interesting questions here. They say, this says, tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And it's interesting to me that they put those two together. But without getting too far into the weeds here, the first thing Jesus responds with is, watch out that no one deceives you. And you can see the same thing in Luke 21. His first response, watch out that no one deceives you. So next on here, we've seen in just the last year a massive release of information regarding UFOs. There have been interviews and everything else. And I've noticed that this isn't like mainstream media. This is, you know, kind of tucked away. It's almost like well, nobody really cares. Everybody just kind of thinks, oh yeah, yeah, this stuff is probably real, right? Which tells me that Hollywood has been doing a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
So why do I bring this up? There's a lot of people that, and I can't say I disagree, that believe that when the rapture occurs, there's going to have to be an explanation. Right? Then this Antichrist guy isn't going to come on scene and say, oh yeah, they were all taken to heaven. That does him no good. That is him no good at all. In fact, what he wants to do is say that, yeah, they had to be purged. They had to be rid of, you know, they were impure or something. And that's going to allow this character to, you know, introduce his own way of life, this global control and everything else. And so all these UFO reports coming out are very interesting. It's been said that, you know, the devil knows his time is short. And so he's grabbing everybody that he possibly can, but he's also preparing for the future, and he knows scripture better than you and I do. And so I think a lot of this is he knows what's coming. And so he's trying to prepare the world for his soon to come ruler. And so it says here, what's inside the Pentagon's long-awaited UFO report. And really the report didn't share a ton. I mean, there were some videos, but you know, I've had some conversations with some fellow believers who see this a little differently than I do, but I think UFOs are actually demons.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of theologians and pastors that believe that. I mean, goodness gracious, in Genesis, we're told about the Nephilims, right?
Yeah.
You know, so in between God's creation of man and angels, could there be another, you know, being? I think so. I mean, it's amazing to me when you look at movies, like these Hollywood producers or whoever these writers are, you know, like they're reading sections of the Bible somewhere, you know, like Armageddon. Where did they get that term? I wonder.
Yeah. Right?
Or the Great Abyss. I wonder where they got that from.
Yeah.
You know.
Or how about the new, you know, the Avengers series when they,
yeah,
you know, he snaps his finger and half of all existence is gone.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the world needs to do what they need to do by explaining, you know, a way, oh, this is what happened. You know, so it's not like Satan's not aware of the fact that the rapture is going to take place. You know, he knows that he's going to be locked up. He knows he's going to go through. So he knows that. I mean, does he know every secret of God? No. You know, and so he's got to do what he needs to do, right? His whole job is to steal, kill, and destroy,
mm-hmm.
right? And in that is delusion.
Yeah.
And I mean, look at Facebook with Mark Zuckerberg coming out with a false sense of reality. Hmm. Right? You're pretty much forcing people to live in a video game now, so to speak. You know. I mean, will the technology be here when we can join a meeting and I can walk in? I mean, just everything. Like, you got the video games with the goggles, mm-hmm. False reality. You've got, you know, even in our police fire training, there's a simulations.
Yep.
You know, and so yep. And I think it's all part of the ploy to explain to people that don't get taken up in the rapture and those that are left behind to explain away what's going on. It's they're blaming aliens.
Yeah, for sure. And thank you for saying Pope, because the next one. Pope Francis, failure to fight climate change will incur God's judgment, as if this man speaks for God. So, okay. Speaking of deception here, I'm not going to discount that we need to take care of the earth. Okay. That was one of the commands, is that we are to subdue it. And I think as a part of that, to take care of the resources that God has given us. And that's important, right? Okay. But this stuff takes it to a whole new level, a dangerous level. In fact, I think that this guy right here worships Mother Earth. And I think there's a lot of quotes that we could pull to prove that. Mm-hmm. And I think he's being used as a tool of the enemy, in my opinion. But speaking of deception, we have a tendency, not we, the world is being directed in a direction to take care of Mother Earth above taking care of mankind. And we could go into a whole lot on this, but I don't really want to be, pulled off the internet. But the point is, I think this is part of the deception. Okay. And I have in my readings in the past found that there is a group who believes that these higher beings, right, these aliens at some point are going to remove, sort of like climate criminals, as part of this cleansing. Maybe I'm a climate criminal and maybe I'm going to be removed, you know, as part of the rapture. And I think that there's other explanations that they're coming up with to explain away the rapture. And I think this is one of them right here. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have much thoughts on this Yahoo, besides the fact that he's definitely doesn't know the word of God. And, you know, he's just playing into the ploy of every other world leader. You know, people need to keep in mind the Pope and the Catholic Church, especially the ones in Rome, they're their own country. They're their own little entity.
And the wealthiest one in the world, by the way.
Yeah. And, you know, they don't abide by any other rules. They have their own international security entourage, whatever you want to call it, that travels with the Pope. And they don't have to abide by any rules of that nation.
Yeah.
You know, and to think, if you think about it, the Catholic Church is in almost every single country, you know, and who knows how the enemy is going to use the Catholic Church for, you know, the end times.
You know? Yeah. And we could talk a lot about the
ritual. Be another whole podcast.
Yeah. And it's described there in Revelation, you know, on the, was it the seven mountains or I can't remember. Anyway. Yeah. But I guess we'll just keep moving along here, huh?
Yeah.
Let me see what's next. Okay. Back to Matthew 24 here. Let's just, Michael, I'll just go ahead and read this short passage here. As far as Jesus's response, he said, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. Now, I think that that also isn't, you know, someone saying I am the Christ, but also someone who's saying I represent Christ, which I think we just saw in that last slide. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Or also this could be translated threats of wars, as we saw with that first slide about Putin right there. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Now the critic might say, well, that all those things have been going on for millennia or whatever. And I agree. But what he says there at the end, in comparing it to birth pains, looks like he got company there, means that it's going to be increasing over time, right? Mm-hmm. Birth pains get stronger, closer together as they get closer to the birth. And I would say we are crowning. Okay, so this chart here shows magnitude 6.0 greater earthquake since 1900. A 6.0 is pretty significant. And as you can see, they are on the increase. And this only goes 2014. Now I get I get earthquake updates and notices pretty regularly from a private source, because I know that that's actually going to be more accurate. So I can tell you without a doubt, these are on the rise, and the magnitude is also on the rise. You know, speaking of climate and earth real quick, Mike, you know, I was talking to a friend about this here recently, and he said, you know, people act as if the world is going to last forever and as if it's going to be around forever. Does anything else in nature work that way?
No.
So anyway, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, when I was working for the fire department, you always got, you know, you have your daily, weekly, monthly reports on various, you know, activities. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, there's earthquakes that have been, you know, going on around the world for God knows how long. And so, and to think that, you know, I think where we need to kind of, like, as Christians need to understand is when we start hearing about earthquakes in usually areas you're not expected to have earthquakes, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, those, like, you know, like you said, you know, are we going to live in this world forever? No. And that's why, as Christians that are pre-trib, we're going to be in glorified bodies, you know, and that's why, you know, Jesus said in scripture, there'll be a new heaven and new earth. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, but then if you're not a believer, I understand why there's, like, the crazies of, like, AOC, you know, and the Bernies, and because this is all they have to hope for.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
good point.
And the reason I say that, if you think about it, like when I was living in Colorado, in the area that I lived in, during the winter season, there is no homeless people. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure right now, parts of Oregon, you're not going to see homeless people on the middle of those, you know, interstate and saying that we'll work for food. Right.
Yeah.
But the something that reminds me of homeless people is they hold on to what they have. And then they try to cherish it because that's all they have.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, those that are Christians are homeless, because our home as believers is not here, it's in heaven. But for the non-believer, all they have is this.
Yeah.
So they, in their mentality is, we got to save the earth, you know, climate change. We need to have more solar powered stuff. We need to go green, and, you know, and that's, they know it's all a lie. You know, all these leaders that are, like, wanting to go green. Yeah. It's all a lie. They need fossil fuel to create all their green products. You know, that's what makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, such a bummer, man. Such a bummer, because you and I know that it's sin that brought about all this from the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
It's sin that keeps it going. And yet we try to save what's been fallen instead of dealing with the issue of sin.
Exactly. Anyways,
let's move on. Pretty good segue. Yeah, because we got a bunch more here. But it's a good segue into 2 Timothy chapter 3 here. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Boy, have a form of godliness but denying its power. Doesn't that describe the modern church? Unfortunately. Ooh, look at that pretty background. Okay. Yeah,
I'm getting ready for the rapture.
Yeah. Brings me to the next slide. This one I like. showing all of our social media. And this isn't all of it, right? This is a portion of it.
Yeah.
And lovers of selves. You know, been listening to some podcasts about, or not podcasts, but some videos about narcissism and how this is the most narcissistic generation in all of history. And this right here on the screen has a lot to do with it. And in case you can't see what I'm looking at here, it shows 8 different social media sites. Like me, listen to me, hire me, watch me, show me, look at me, agree with me, accept me. And that is what our world is now. There are so many of us that don't have, you know, very personal friends because we count the number of friends on social media. It's a terrifying thing.
Yeah, those of you that are just listening to this, the 8 things that Adam just piped off, they are icons of all the major social media sites like Facebook and Twitter. What's it? Indeed, YouTube, Pinterest. What's the 2 dots? That's the...
I don't know what that one is. It says, look at me. So I don't know. We could just say Instagram. I don't know. Maybe I also don't know what the next one is.
Blogger. That's Blogger from Google.
Yeah. See, I don't even know this stuff.
And the T, that used to be, I think, for Twitter, no?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Cesspool.
It's the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I.
Okay. I mean, that's all I got for narcissism. I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, well, I mean, if the enemy could get our eyes on ourselves and not the Lord, you know, you know, humans have a tendency to destroy themselves when they just look at themselves. So,
yeah,
you know, and it's, I'll say this as a pastor, and we can also say this as those that have, you know, been in uniform or, you know, as a firefighter or as a cop, the dangers of suicide, the dangers of loneliness, you know, has crept in. You know, right now I'm coaching my son and my daughter not to worry about the likes or the number of followers, you know, and because your life doesn't depend on that, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but outside of, you know, being a Christian, there are, and even some Christians, there are so many that they're just dependent upon likes, you know. I think there's a documentary on Netflix where these guys are in social media space and they're following this kid and they kind of push things into front of their eyes so that they can get likes. Let's push this to this girl's phone so that she can get an alert. Hey, I like you, you know, and it goes into, you know, that whole metaverse.
Yeah.
You know? So anywho.
Scary stuff. Okay. Let me get our next.
I got to get me that shirt right there. Jesus returneth. Herewith.
Forthwith.
Forthwith. Is that what he said? Forthwith?
Yeah. You got it. Okay. Thinlinebelievers.com, bro. It's on there. You should know that.
Hey, it should just come to my house, bro. Every time you design one.
Fine. Fine. Okay. Let's kind of move on into this mystery man. Okay. There's a lot of names for him. The most common is the AC. I'm going to kind of censor myself a little bit, but most common one to you and me, but I think the Bible would most commonly call him the beast.
Yeah.
I think is the most common name in scripture. So United Nations at one of their conferences or meetings or whatever, back in the 50s, I think I want to say 53, this fellow here, Dr. Paul Henry Spock.
I'll look at it while you're doing that.
Awesome name. the former Secretary General of NATO, the first president of the UN General Assembly, and an architect of the United Nations and the New World Order, said the following: "We do not want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. Send us such a man, and be he God or devil, we will receive him." What'd you find there, Mike? You got frozen.
So he was Secretary of State between 1957 and 1960.
Okay, so I said 53. Maybe it was an 8. Maybe, I don't know, 58.
So in the late 50s. Let's just say that.
Deal. Long before you and me. Well, at least long before me. So as you can see, the UN is already preparing to welcome just such a man. And they have been preparing for a long time. And as you can see with the current state of affairs, there's weak leadership here. There's weak leadership abroad. I think that with Ezekiel 38, Russia is going to be of no consequence after all that goes down. Oh, one thing we didn't explain. When Russia and all these other countries come against Israel, God's going to take care of it himself. Israel's not going to be able to defend itself, being the size of New Jersey, going up against the bear. It's going to have no way to defend itself. So God's going to intervene.
And Adam, you should say, where is the church?
Not there. It's going to be church is going to be in heaven. Okay. That's one of the main points of this whole tribulation period. Is right now, for the first time in history since Jesus, essentially. Yeah. Since before Jesus. Since ever, Israel, the nation, as a sovereign nation, exists at the same time as the church. That's never happened before. Even in the time of Jesus, Israel was not a sovereign nation. It was ruled by Rome. So now, for the first time in all history, we exist side by side, and that's about to come to an end because God's ready to turn his attention back to Israel. And, you know, one thing that we've talked about, and I think that you talked about yesterday, or maybe Ed did, was the fact that this is a dangerous form. When we don't look at a pre-trib rapture, if we look at it as a post-trib or something other than pre-trib, it's this dangerous replacement theology. When you're saying that the church has to go through the tribulation period, you're saying that God's attention is not entirely on Israel, but that it's still on the church when the tribulation period is intended for those who have rejected his son, but also for Israel to call his people, right, to a repentance, to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the chosen people. Okay, so God's turning his attention back to Israel in the tribulation period. And I wanted to make sure to highlight that. And as part of that is this Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, where God's going to intervene on behalf of Israel and defeat the invading nations.
We're going to have good seats from above, watching down, seeing what's going on, because we're not going to be here.
Which is another reason why John was given the book of Revelation, right? Why he was given this revelation from the viewpoint of heaven,
mm-hmm.
and not from the viewpoint of earth, because John represents the church in heaven watching go down.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, we talked about how, you know, God takes symbolism seriously. In the book of Daniel, you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right, in the fiery furnace.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel's not there.
Daniel's nowhere to be found.
And so, you know, and I love all my Christian brothers and sisters that, you know, that love Jesus, because salvation is salvation. But I know a lot of Christians that see the church as Israel and the Israel as a church, that whole replacement theology. That's a dangerous path to go down, you know. And Israel is God's people. God's going to deal with Israel. And, you know, and the whole, this, you know, the reason why this discussion is so important is it's a year 2022, right? And is it going to be better than 2021? Hopefully, you know, but are we going through the tribulation period? And some do, you know, something, you know, Israel is a church. And I'm like, no, you know, that's not what it says in the scripture. And so I think that it's, we have to keep in mind, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, it's God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we can't just take a portion of God's word and spiritualize it and say, hey, the church is Israel. Because that's not what it says, right? You know, taking the text out of context is not text, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to keep in mind as things are being developed around the world and stuff, you know, like, I know you're going to show one of the pictures I kind of saw is a chip, right?
Mm-hmm.
People have already asked, is the, you know, the vaccine passport or the Bitcoin cryptocurrency stuff, is it a precursor, you know, or the mark of the beast? I don't really care because we ain't going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think we have to get that, you know, like that old saying, I remember being in the Baptist church, the preacher saying, you're not going to be any earthly good if you're not heavenly minded, you know? And as a kid, I didn't know what he meant by that. It's like, what? But as I'm older, I get it. We ought to live heavenly minded while we're still here on earth.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. You know, and those of you that are listening, I encourage you to really dig into the word of God, you know, because if you're confused on parts of theology, it could be because you're not taking the whole counsel of the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, like, a lot of churches, they won't touch the book of Revelation. They won't touch Daniel. They won't touch Ezekiel, you know. And I think partly too is I think a lot of pastors don't understand, you know, and rightfully so, but that's where you invite solid, you know, Bible teachers that are into solid eschatology through the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and definitely. Yeah. Otherwise we're ignoring, you know, a quarter to a third of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
you know, a quarter to a third of scripture is, they say 25 to 30% is prophetic,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or eschatology, which is the study of prophecy. So, it's extremely important that you cover that. Otherwise you're not getting the entire counsel of God. And we don't share this stuff to scare anybody. Unless you're a non-believer, then you should probably be scared. But to the believers, it's to prepare you and to make sure that you know time is short. This should give you hope, because when we get to heaven at the foot of the throne, you can find it in Isaiah 6, Revelation 4. Okay, it describes the throne and it is awesome. When we get to that place, we're done with all the junk. You know, at that point, we don't even have to live in faith anymore, because the substance is right in front of us. This here is our only chance to live a life of faith. Mm-hmm. When we get there, we've seen it. New bodies, new everything. So this all should give you hope. Now, I wanted to say something about this replacement theology. Okay, if you look through the Bible and you see the word Israel and you say, oh, or somebody tells you that represents the church now, whoever said that, run from them. Don't listen to a word they have to say, because what they tend to do is they take the blessings that were promised to Israel and they take those for the church, and the curses upon Israel, they say, oh yeah, that's still in Israel. So yep. Hypocritical. Okay. I think I already switched the slide here. Oh, okay. So they had this climate summit here. What was it, in November, I think? No, It started October 31st, ironically. So
Halloween.
October 31st and into November. And, you know, they had a whole bunch of these bigwig speakers. One of them was Prince Charles. And this quote here has been changed. They've taken the transcript since then and changed it one word in particular here. But I'm going to read part of this to you. And if you're watching, you can go ahead and read the whole thing. I'll leave it up here for a second. But I'm going to read the first portion here because there's a certain someone that he's talking about here that I think is very important. And it makes me wonder, do they already know who this guy is that they're gonna, you know, put in power? Makes me curious. But he said regarding this need for globalism, essentially, he said, we also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here, we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal, was the word he used, to marshal the strength of the global private sector with trillions at his disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect beyond even the governments of the world's leaders. It offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition. So how do we do it? First, how do we get the private sector all pulling in the same direction? After nearly 2 years now of consultation, CEOs have told me that we need to bring together global industries to map out in very practical terms what it will take to make the transition. We know from the pandemic that the private sector can speed up timelines dramatically when everyone agrees on the urgency and the direction. So each sector needs a clear strategy to speed up the process of getting innovations to market. So he says 2 years ago, and then he talks about the pandemic. So it seems that all this has been planned for a couple of years now, which doesn't surprise me. But, you know, a couple of the biggest things here is he's saying that the cost of all this green stuff is going to cost more than the global GDP.
Mm-hmm.
So more than every single country's GDP combined. And he says, with trillions at his disposal. So who is this his guy? I'll just leave that up to you. But I think if you understand the context of what we're talking about, you know who I'm talking about here. So, and he's talking about marshaling the strength. What does it mean to marshal? It means to control with the military, right? So here we have the makings of the one world government as described in Revelation. I think they would probably describe that as being part of Babylon, right, Mike?
Yeah, man, I can't wait to see this from above.
I know.
And I'll say this, since I talked about this at the church, if you guys want to watch the service, it's on YouTube, Calvary Chapel Buckeye. Still working on southwestcalvary.com on how to upload all that stuff. But what... Every generation, even when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, right? Where I think we need to kind of separate is the term tribulation and suffering, even though that's very similar. The tribulation, the 7-year period after the church has been raptured, is going to be like no other. And that's where a lot of Christians need to understand, you know, because every generation was expecting Jesus Christ, and we ought to. As we get older, you know, because we can't take time back, we just age. You know, time moves forward. Time doesn't hold still for us. And so every generation was, could it be today? Could it be us? But as believers, the church is removed, And that 7-year tribulation period is going to be, and we have to keep in mind, the tribulation period is for Israel, right? How did John Corson say it all the time?
Shake up a heathen, wake up a nation,
yeah,
and to make up a kingdom.
Right? And so, see, you got it memorized, right? To wake up the nation.
I do have the entire Revelation Bible study on my phone still, so.
Yeah. Hey, the book of Revelation is not a hard book to understand.
Yeah.
It comes with its own divine outline. I think Pastor Chuck used to say that in his studies in the 60s, but the tribulation period is to wake up Israel, right? The church is not there. But it's also to wake up the heathens. And I was mentioning, and I read it somewhere, I'm like, the church that gets raptured, we're going to be in glorified bodies, you know, but the Holy Spirit is still at work for salvation purposes to wake up Israel and then to convey the heathens, right? The need for salvation. And so, and we know that after the church has been raptured, then there's going to be the revealing of the Antichrist, right? And so, I get it. I mean, it wasn't like I was into prophecy as, you know, as a believer. You know, I got into prophecy because it's in the Word of God. You know, I'm like, oh, this is prophecy here. And so you just learn to study it and you start to pray for it. And, you know, I just prayed simply like the disciples in the Gospel of Luke, where the Lord opened their understanding. And I pray for that God would open up my understanding for better clarity when it comes to prophecy and to stand firm in that. And, you know, because ultimately I think it is Satan's job, and he's doing a pretty good job, is to confuse Christians.
Yeah.
You know, when they read quotes from like Prince Charles and the Pope, and they're just like, no big deal. But those of us that are believers and we know the prophetic timeline, you're just like, what? The stage is being set, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we know because we have this. But there are believers that, you know, like Adam, you were saying, like if someone tells you that the church is Israel, I'm like, hey, brother, it was nice knowing you. I don't know what church you go to, but you need to run, right? And so, too, I mean, I don't know how many people are going to listen to this podcast or this video on YouTube. But if you do, you need to find yourself a solid Bible teaching church that, you know, knows its prophecy.
Yeah.
You know, And that whole thing, I wish I knew what I knew then. That's all out the door right now. We're in a generation where teachings are available worldwide. You know, what was it like several months ago? We shared, you know, on our text thread with each other about that giant AI.
Yeah, I didn't even put that in this, but yeah.
Yeah, but I was surprised you didn't, but I mean, it could do everything, right? And so we really don't know how, but I mean, I just don't understand how the world leaders are playing right into everything. But then at the same time, we are told that we are going to be living in delusional times, you know, and, you know, you and I both know, you know, we've pulled over people. As soon as they roll down the window, man, they're plastered. You know, they're ETOH or they're on the bud, right? And you walk up and you're just like, hey, how you doing, sir? What? You know? And they're delusioned. They're under the influence of something, you know? And I don't know how much more clear the Bible says through Paul, be sober-minded, right?
Yeah.
And so you know, and I don't think Paul's just talking about alcohol, you know, but I think Paul's talking also about the world that you're living. Be sober minded, you know, because, you know, we listen to people that are saying the sky is falling, the sky is falling, you know. It's like that kids movie, is it the Meatballs? Uh-oh.
Ice rolling off my roof.
Uh-oh. But, yeah, you know.
Cloudy with a chance of meatballs, yeah.
Yeah. Cloudy chance of meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a cartoon, but the guy believed in that, you know. And a lot of people are like, oh, you're crazy, you're crazy. And we're at a time now when people are going to see Christians as being crazy, and rightfully so, you know. And when the Lord takes the church home, right, I truly hope people are going to be like, I wish I would have listened to Adam, you know, when that trooper is going to realize, where's Adam? You know, where's Adam and his family? Right? Governor Brown is going to be, where's my trooper?
Yeah, right.
What are you doing? You're playing games. Are you playing Pong?
Yeah, I'm tired of listening to you talk.
Ain't that the truth?
Just kidding. Now I was pulling this up.
Oh, I figure there it is.
Trying to find a better picture of it, but yeah, for those who haven't seen it, this is the giant they talk about, and it's supposed to be in something like, what, 21 cities or something like that. I can't remember, but
yeah, I know for sure all the continents from what I
know. Yeah. Yeah.
And then a handful of major cities in each continent.
Yeah. And why does this mean anything? Well, because, you know, it says that the whole world will bow down and worship the beast. And so we're not saying that this is what he's going to use. It's just an option. You know, it's just a sort of a, I would call it a precursor. You know, the technology is available for the beast to project his image onto this thing. And so, you know, to make him an idol, essentially. So. Anyway, if you haven't seen the video of this, just look up the giant 2021 giant. On YouTube, and you can see that darn thing. Anyway, back to what we were at here. So, okay, as a part of this peace treaty, most believe that as a part of this peace treaty, that the third temple is going to be allowed to be rebuilt, which makes sense timing-wise to me if you know, suddenly Russia, Iran, and Turkey are all defeated. And there's nobody to oppose necessarily the building of the third temple, which doesn't exist right now, right? And there are those who say, well, it's going to go where the Al-Aqsa is. And there's others who say, well, it's going to go right beside it. I more lean to going beside it, because the Bible says when he's measuring the new temple, not to measure the court of the Gentiles, which would, if built, you know, according to scale and everything, would sit where the Al-Aqsa is. But if that's not included, then it could sit right beside it without disturbing this mosque. But don't know. That's just conjecture. The point of bringing this stuff up, and we could actually talk a really long time about this, there's something called the Temple Institute, and they have essentially everything they need in order to build the third temple. And the fact that the Saudis here, for the first time ever, are saying that this mosque is not important to Islam, well, that's very interesting to say that they are kind of stepping back and almost handing over the Temple Mount in some way, shape, or form, right? So. And then we have this second part here. This was, I think, one of the last parts that they needed in order to rebuild this temple was they didn't know how the stone was hewn. And anytime Israel, especially Jerusalem, conducts any kind of building project, first they have to do this. This Israel Antiquities Authority gets to go in and excavate to make sure that there's nothing of historical significance. And what they did when they went into this particular area was they found where the stones were quarried. And in basically every step of the process. And so they were able to go in and see, okay, so this is how they quarried each individual stone. And so now that's the last thing they have. They have the red heifer, last I heard, to cleanse the Temple Mount, which they needed. And what I learned recently from James Cadiz actually was that they have this special oil to anoint the Messiah, which has a shelf life, and it's against their law to produce it unless they're going to use it. They cannot let it go to waste. So somebody there really believes that this Messiah is ready to be anointed. And we know the Messiah is sitting at the right hand of God right now. So the person that they're going to anoint is not going to be the true Messiah. Mike, you got anything to add to that? Because these last three have to do with, not the Temple Mount. So,
you know, just seeing the images, I really do pray for, you know, our Jewish friends in Israel, and then our, Muslim friends in that region. I mean, they're getting all this stuff ready, and if all goes according to God's plan, then that's going to be a wake-up call. I just know, I forgot who said, I don't know if it was Pastor Chuck Smith who said that, is until the Lord raptures the church, keep your eyes on Jesus, keep loving him, but then keep your other eye on Israel. You know, and I think, you know, Israel being God's people, it's the ticking clock.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's surprising and it's sad that in our states that we don't keep a better eye on what's going on in the Middle East, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, with us pulling out of Afghanistan and leaving all our military equipment there so that every third world country that pays money to the Taliban can get the technology that the U.S. put into, I think in my opinion, God's going to judge Biden for his actions. But it's like, and I don't want to go on too far into the tangent because, you know, we're probably already past an hour, but there might be a small mention, but there's no mention of the United States in the Bible, you know, but we also know Genesis says that those that bless Israel will be blessed. We're the largest country in the world that blessed Israel. And in return, our country got blessed.
Yeah.
Right? You take the largest country out now from blessing Israel. And, you know, if you follow Amir Safari, you know, on Telegram and stuff, and he talks about, it's like, Israel's ready to strike. They're from, I think, one of his episodes, he said that Israeli planes are armed. You know, no longer just flying around for practice. And, you know, it's like, you know, in our world, when we train, it's like you use sim rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Unlike, you know, Mr. Alec Baldwin. But Israel's no longer using, technically in a sense, sim rounds. They are ready.
They've set their phasers to kill.
Yeah, right? So, like we mentioned earlier, the stage is being prepped. You know, the stage is being prepped. you know, and, you know, yeah, I better not go down that tangent. We'll save it for another day.
Probably better not. Let's.
Oh, plus, I got to go to the bathroom.
Well, then let's cruise along here. That's all that.
Three coffee. Cups of this.
All that coffee. Man. All right. So, Revelation chapter 6. Let's see. This is the black horse with a pair of scales in his hand. 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. Day's wages. And do not damage the oil and the wine. Okay, so what this is saying here is that it's going to cost the average Joe a day's wages for a loaf of bread, essentially, right? A day's wages just to eat. You think groceries are expensive now. After the rapture, it's going to be insane. So this, Jack Dorsey admits hyperinflation and the Great Reset is coming, it says. CEO of Twitter, which he's no longer, right? He handed that over, has issued a stark warning that hyperinflation will alter everything. It will happen in the U.S. shortly, and so will the globe. You know, it's interesting to me that anybody who talks about this stuff now talks about not only America, but the globe, right? This whole pandemic thing really brought the globe into perspective here. And it's basically saying that globalism is coming and hyperinflation is coming. And that was another thing about Prince Charles. I think that's his name, right? Prince Charles, his speech was that I think part of that is what they're wanting to do is introduce a one world currency at some point. And they will. And this blockchain technology and everything else is all part of that. And, you know, the technology for that stuff is all available, you know, hand scanners from Amazon and all this jazz. And, you know, JD Frog says something that I totally agree with in that prophecy has a shelf life and the technology more specifically mentioned in prophecy has a shelf life. You know, our technology is advancing so quickly now that if we go 10 years longer or more, the technology is going to surpass that which is mentioned in scripture. And I tend to agree with that. So I think we have a window here for this prophecy to all unfold. So speaking of prophecy and technology, here's this guy. Under your skin, tech firm develops microchip that can be implanted in your arm to track this certain status, this medical procedure status with a cell phone scan. And I think this is Swedish technology, right, Mike? I think.
Well, I know Sweden has already implemented this. There are some other countries but there are also regions in the United States that are already implementing this with some individuals that are wanting their whole life in a little rice chip.
Yeah. Yeah. And this, you know, this enables you to be not only all of your medical information to be tracked, but also your position, you know, your location to be tracked as well. And if you want to learn more about this, just Revelation 13 talks about it. And then this is really interesting to me. And I think Russia is actually kind of leading the way in a lot of this stuff here, but also, if you look at the second paragraph there, so I'll read the headline for those who are listening. An invisible quantum dot tattoo could be used to ID kids with a certain medical procedure here. And I'll just read the little blip here. For the people overseeing nationwide whatever initiatives in developing countries, keeping track of who had which shot, jab, and when can be a tough task. But researchers from MIT might have a solution. They've created an ink that can be safely embedded in the skin alongside the jab itself, and it's only visible using a special smartphone camera app and filter. Also, I'd like to add that it was a certain Gates Foundation that funded this research. And that's the last slide that I put on this here update. But I think it's an important one because according to Revelation 13, the old mark is an actual mark. It's not something that's hidden necessarily, but you know, it's a similar verbiage that we'd use to describe a tattoo.
You know, my last thoughts,
because you have to pee.
I have to pee, but before you end this, my last thoughts are, you know, in today's technology, you can open up a phone. And what does, what do you do when you buy something on Amazon? Or what do you do when you need instructions on your dryer? You scan a QR code, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought about this a long time ago when I was, you know, a younger man. It's going to be so simple. You know, the Jews during the war, the Nazis, you know, marked them with a number, right? Usually on their arm. I always wondered why they didn't just do it on the forehead, right? Or anybody that, or anywhere it's, you know, but nowadays, with the world, I remember a time when I was younger, tattoos were frowned upon, you know, especially the church. The church said, oh, you shouldn't get tattoos because, you know. But now, fast forward, you know, 20, 30 years, tattoos is not a big deal. And for, I think, majority of the world, they're not going to see it as a big thing by taking a piece of ink on their skin because they've already been tattooed. It's gone beyond tattoos. Like how many people are pierced?
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not saying those are bad things. I'm not saying it's a sin, but like anything, if you want people to get used to something, you get them, you introduce it, get them used to doing it. And then it becomes a habit. And once becomes a habit, it becomes a lifestyle. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised that they could just do an embedding of a small little tattoo and that it's scannable, you know. I mean, we have the technology from the space to zoom in onto a size of a quarter, right? And so, wasn't there a movie, something about Eye in the Sky?
I don't remember.
I didn't watch it, but I remember there was a movie called Eye in the Sky. And it's, what's his name from Transformers? That guy. What is his name?
I don't know. Shia?
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf, whatever his name is. I think he was in it. But, you know, it's just scary because if you think about it, I mean, you know, those of us that's been in government work, we know that technology is already out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of time. And then, you know, but those of us that are believers, just like, oh, this is crazy.
You know?
And that's why, you know, my encouragement is, you know, live day to day, but expect the Lord to come back and come and get you today, you know?
Yep.
And I mean, if the world is using the laziness of humans to make convenience as a weapon, you know, the chip, the mark, hey, it'll hold all your financial information, all your medical, you know, you don't have to carry your wallet, you know.
No more passwords.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd be like, shoot, why not?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't like to carry a lot of stuff. So it's like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't like, I think Amazon has like that feature where you have an app and you scan everything and mm-hmm. you don't have to carry it. You just carry your phone. Oh, I mean, look how dependent we are on just this.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah.
you know, I mean, as believers, our Bibles are on there, you know, but, you know, reviewing all these slides and the end time stuff just kind of reminds me, hey, Lord, you can come back today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. There's nothing else that has to happen.
Yeah. And, you know, as having been a, you know, worship pastor, my selfish prayer has always been, Lord, can you rapture the church when I'm leading worship? You know, and what better way to go is while you're worshiping, you know, because that's, we are going to do that in heaven. And so I don't want to be like, Lord, one more double before I go. No. It's like, let's worship God. And, you know, so anyways, those are my thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. And as I've said a few times now, this isn't to scare anybody, you know, it's to prepare everybody that these things are coming. There's some people who are worried about, you know, this thing coming out, that thing coming out, that it's the mark. It's not. Okay. The folks that take this mark, they're going to know what they're doing. Okay. Part of it is going to be the worship of the beast. You know, it's kind of like Caesar, you know, you had to go and you had to, say Caesar is Lord. Right. And you had to lay, what was it? You know, put a coin at the statue or whatever. And essentially you were worshiping this statue, Caesar is Lord. And then you went on your way. It's going to be similar in this. Okay. There's actually, the Bible says there's going to be an angel flying through the sky saying, don't take the mark. So it's not like you're going to get this and it's going to be, oh, surprise, surprise. That was, you know, that was what Revelation 13 talked about. No, that's not it. And you know what, if you see those things happen, sorry, you're in the tribulation. But we're not. The technology is ready. Everything's at the door. It's just a matter of God saying, like he says in Revelation 4, come up here. And it says, John says, immediately I was in the spirit. Okay, that's the rapture. That's the rapture for you and me. God's going to say, come up here. And immediately you and me are going to be in the spirit. Now, you mentioned a movie that I have watched way too many times in your sermon yesterday, you and Ed, Before the Wrath. Before the Wrath. I think it still costs money on Amazon, but it's worth every penny. Watch that thing. And that's why I asked you the question, do you think that there is a gap of time between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation? Personally, I think there has to be at least a little time period, but I don't think it's much. And I base that on the Galilean wedding. I don't think that there is a gap of time between, you know, the taking away of the bride and the beginning of this 7-day, you know, celebration.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think there's a time gap. But again, like this background screen I have, when God lives in this and we're living in a 24-hour period, I think there are hints to know, maybe get an idea of what that gap might be. But I mean, if you think about it, when Jesus died and rose again, he was translated in his glorified body. He purposely chose to stick around for what, 40 days?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it shows that in a glorified body state, he was on here on earth to walk around, right? We're going to get to experience that at the end of the 7-year tribulation period when we come back and blah, 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 blah. That gap, I think we're in that period where, how can I say this? Our time frame and God's time frame of because a guy that doesn't sleep, nor does he, he's always present, right? So in this time frame, I don't know what that gap is, but then, right. If that makes sense.
And honestly, when we're up there, it's not going to matter.
No.
Because we're out of here. So should we close?
Sure.
Hey, check it out. This is what we're talking about. Jesus returneth forthwith. Prepare ye. Prepare ye. Michael, I'll let you pray us out of here.
Yes. Lord, you tell us in the scripture that we will neither know the day nor the hour. And Lord, help us not to be those that are going about our daily life, partying and being merry. Lord, but help us to be sober-minded and to be preparing our hearts for your return. Lord, I do pray and I do ask, like A.W. Tozer said, that our lifestyle should be a lifestyle of worship, where we're worshiping in our hearts at our workplace, we're worshiping in our hearts in our homes, we're worshiping in our hearts wherever we are, and that our hearts is where we are in your presence and we're raptured by you, God. So that, Lord, when you do come to get your church, that, Lord, you would, Lord, come to a place that would allow us to be enraptured by who you are. And Lord, speaking about all these topics, Lord, end times prophecy, Lord, help us not to be scared for it, but Lord, help us to be excited and anticipate it, Lord. Much like a kid, anticipating, Lord, recently they were anticipating opening up Christmas gifts. Lord, or kids wanting to go to an adventure park and waiting to get in line. Lord, help us to have that anticipation, that excitement to see you, God. Help us not to grow old or weary in that, but help us, Lord, to keep our eyes lifted up, Lord. Prepare us, Lord. I pray that those that are listening, that will watch this or that are going to listen to this, Lord, that you would draw them closer to you, Lord. And those that don't know you, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would knock on the door of their hearts that they might drive close to you, God. And so, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Continue to bless Thin Line believers, Lord. Give us wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would use us in uniform and out of uniform. And so, Lord, be with those that are in uniform right now. Protect them. Pray that, Lord, those that are in uniform will also stand for righteousness. And so, Lord, we just surrender this week to you, God. May you bless 2022 and help us to be prepared for the rapture. And help us to be prepared to share the gospel, Lord, to share the love of Jesus. And so, Lord, watch over us. Bless us, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Remember, folks, judgment for you and me was poured out on Jesus. Therefore, we don't face the coming judgment. Okay. So that's all I got, Mike. Have a great week to the listener and to you, Mike, I guess. I mean, if you want a great week. And
a happy new year to everybody.
Happy new year for sure. And wherever you're listening at, do us a favor and share this with somebody. Give us a review. Helps us to reach a few more people. And, you know, if there's topics that you'd like us to touch on or to research, we can bring on some good people on here to talk about. Let us know. Reach out. ThinLineBelievers@gmail.com. And keep following us there on social media. We'll see you.